Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hello, welcome back to Circle Time. I'm so happy to be talking to all of you guys, and I hope everybody's doing well. We have a very special guest today that I am so excited to be chatting with. Would you like to introduce yourself to the Circlers?
Yes. Hi, I'm Sophie Ansari. It's so weird to say that because I don't actually, that's not actually my last name.
What is your last name?
Confession to everybody.
Oh my God, yeah, be honest here.
It's time for me to come clean. My last name is actually Rutstein. But when I started my podcast, Pod Crushed, I was like working on the art and it was like too long.
Okay.
So I just like, let me just take my husband's name. Let's see if it like looks better. And I did and it looked better. So
oh my God.
Publicly, I'm living a lie.
So Ansari is your husband's last name?
Yes.
But you didn't take his last name?
No, legally, no.
Okay.
But yes, hi, I'm Sophie Ansari.
I feel like that's like the opposite people usually.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I'm legally going to take my husband's name eventually when I'm not lazy.
Yeah.
But like I'll still say Kelsey Krempel.
Yeah, it's true. Although Rutstein, it's like people are like, is it Redstein? Is it Rutstone? Like,
okay,
it's just a little harder. But
yeah.
Ansari, it's like a little bit more familiar because of Aziz Ansari. So
right. I actually didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So anyway,
yeah.
I'm Sophie Ansari. I host a podcast myself called Pod Crushed. It's all about middle school. I am a former teacher. Mm-hmm. I used to teach fifth grade. And now I'm an artist and I host a podcast and I'm 9 months pregnant.
Crazy.
Yeah.
We have so much in common.
I know. I was thinking that. I was like, I feel like we're living parallel
we
lives.
We are. Well, first of all, I was just telling Sophie that she is, I believe, the first fellow pregnant guest.
I'm honored.
Here on Circle Time. And she is like ready to have a baby any moment.
Yep.
Good for you for being here.
Yeah, well, it was touch and go for days before. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it.
I commend you.
Yeah,
I just feel like
you.
We were just talking about this, but I feel like the way I envisioned what it would be like when I was, what are you, 39 weeks pregnant?
Almost 34, 38 in 4 days.
Okay. Yeah. So when I would be 38 weeks pregnant, like I wouldn't be able to like move.
Yeah.
And you're inspiring me.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I had so many ideas about what pregnancy would be like.
Oh, yeah.
You hear so many stories. And the thing is, it's just so different for every person.
It's really crazy because I do feel like I'm a planner for the most part. I mean, I'm a planner that's like also late all the time. So like I'm not, you know, like I'm a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But I do like to know what I'm getting into when I'm doing something.
Yeah. No, you
and
can't
like,
do that in pregnancy.
Not even remotely.
Yeah.
Because you can take advice from other people. Advice is wonderful.
Yeah.
But there are just so many times where like no two pregnancies, no two births.
Yeah.
Nothing.
No, it's really wild. And I feel like at this point, actually for the last few weeks, I'm living like different lives within one day. Like in the morning, I'm like, I feel great. I could like take on the world. And then by the end of the day, I'm like full of food also. So then like that takes up space.
Right.
That the baby was in previously.
Yeah.
And then I'm like crying to my husband. I'm like, I can't do it anymore. So it's just like, it runs the gamut.
Yeah, it really does. How are you feeling about the birth part?
I'm super excited.
Okay.
And I feel like I can't say that because everyone's like, okay, like good luck.
You can say however you're feeling.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Aww.
It's true. Don't cry. I'll cry. Yeah. If you start crying, I'll start crying.
Yeah.
We have a whole episode. We could get some tears in for sure at some point.
I know. Well, yeah, I'm really excited. I feel like I've been thinking about birth my whole life. I've like wanted to be a mom for a long, like since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then there was a brief few years where I was like, I don't know.
Okay.
Like once I started to get older and realize what it actually takes.
Totally. Yeah.
And see, like, I like started having nieces and I was like, oh, no, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
I love them to death. But I was like, oh, this is a lot of work.
Yeah.
So there was a period of time where I wasn't sure. But then for most of my life, I've been thinking about birth and thinking about having kids. And it feels like, okay, now I finally actually get to experience it.
Totally. I was just saying this to my husband yesterday. Like, because I also have always thought about being, like, what it would be like to be a mom. I've always wanted to be a mom. Yeah. But, like, being pregnant and giving birth, you see so much of it, like, on TV and in the media and stuff. And I just feel like I have always been thinking about it, like, since I've been little. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy that, like, now I'm currently experiencing it.
Yeah.
But also like giving birth to me always just seemed like so scary.
Yeah.
Like I was always really scared.
Yeah.
About that portion.
How are you feeling now?
Still scared. Still scared. Believe it or not, hasn't gone away. It's now just inevitable.
Yeah.
Which I'm like excited. Like I'm happy to be at this point because I'm like, okay, now I have to do it. There isn't a choice because before you get pregnant, you're like, but if I don't want to give birth, then maybe I just won't. Like, you know what I mean?
It seems
like
so far away.
Yeah. And now I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be fine.
There's this, I've been doing these like birth affirmations.
And
all of the affirmations, it's like a 20-minute track. And all of them, I'm like, yes, 100%. And then there's this one that comes up and I'm like, I don't know if I believe that. And it's like, my body was made for this, like made to give birth or something like that. And I was like, I don't know. Cause like there are certain things where I'm like, it's incredible that our body just knows to do that.
Totally.
Like the fact that we just start contracting.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But then there's certain things that don't seem to be, it seems like we should have evolved to make that an easier process.
Okay.
You know, or like, for example, this is so graphic, but like your cervix it dilates. And then for some people, it just swells. But I'm like, what? So were our bodies made to do this were they not?
It's true. That's a good point.
Anyway, yeah, it is scary.
It's scary, but it's exciting. And it's nice to talk to people who are also going through it. Because I feel like I, like, with, like, my friends, I have a chunk who, like, just gave birth. Mm-hmm. And then a chunk who aren't even considering giving birth anytime soon.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm getting like both sides of it still. Like I feel like it's still, I'm not in the phase of life where every single person has kids or a family. Like I'm still kind of in like the limbo.
Yeah, same. Same. And I find myself wanting everyone to get pregnant. I'm like, I just want you to know what I'm going through.
Yeah, no,
I want you to know why I'm saying no to this thing.
Right.
Yeah, because I'm sure, I know before I was pregnant, I just, not that I blamed anyone for any like not coming to things or but I just didn't know. I just had no idea.
You
just
don't have any idea.
Yeah.
I also wish my husband could get pregnant.
Yes. I know. And I say to my husband all the time, like, aren't you so sad? Like also because it's a cool experience.
Right, totally.
And he's like, no. not at all.
Yeah. I know. The baby was like moving around so much last night and like you could like it looked insane from the outside. And like Cody was like, oh, that's, you know, it's crazy, whatever. And we're sitting there watching TV and he's like, why are you like breathing so weird? Like he said something to me like, why are you making so many noises? And I'm like,
you see from the outside what's happening. Can you imagine what that feels like? It's happening inside of my body. Like, it's insane. And he's like, yeah, I guess I didn't think about that. And I'm like, there's probably just a lot.
So much.
Yeah.
I have started saying to my husband, because sometimes I'll get these bouts of like, it's like shortness of breath and I'm feeling faint and weak, but I never faint. It's just like, I suddenly am like overwhelmed with sensations.
Right.
And he's always like, what's going on? And it's too much for me to explain all the things I'm feeling. So I've just started saying like, it feels like I'm having a heart attack. So now when he's like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm having a heart attack. And he's like, okay, that's fine.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's so funny. Like, I'm just like breathing harder and like burping more and like I'm like constantly making noises.
Yes, yes.
That are just not like involuntary, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And at first it's just like, what is going on with you? And now it's just like, oh, she's fine.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. I was gonna ask, is he like, what's going on? Are you okay?
For the most part, he knows like what each different noise kind of means. But like now I'm like, you know, kind of crampy and stuff. And like anytime I'm like, ooh, he's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm fine. I'm not going into labor.
How many weeks are you?
I'll be 30 on Friday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to have babies like 10 weeks apart.
Oh my gosh.
They have to play.
I know.
So you're having a girl.
Walk. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
I'm super excited.
Did you have a feeling that it was going to be a girl?
I had like a very strong feeling it was going to be a boy.
Okay. I had the opposite.
Yeah.
Like I thought it was going to be a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the point where when I found out it was a girl, I was like, oh.
No, I felt the same exact way, except the opposite. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm so excited, obviously.
Right.
I think I wanted a girl for so long that I convinced myself I'm having a boy so that I don't get disappointed.
Okay.
So much so that I got disappointed that I was having a girl.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't wait. I have two older siblings and this is the fifth grandchild in my family.
Oh, wow.
And it's all girls.
Really?
Yeah.
So you have two sisters?
A sister and a brother.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. And everybody's having girls.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is the first grandchild on either side.
Yes.
Wow. That's a big deal.
It is. Everybody is very excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's kind of crazy because I'm also like the youngest grandchild. Like I'm the youngest cousin.
Yeah.
I'm the youngest. I was the first to get married.
Wow.
And I'm the first to have a baby.
Wow. Has anyone else gotten married since you?
No, my cousin's getting married like next year.
Okay.
But other than that, it's just me.
You're just an overachiever.
Well, no, I think everybody's like cool and progressive.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, am I the lame one?
You're like, I love the 50s.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm a wife now, actually, everyone. Like everybody's like having like, you know, living their lives.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm actually going to get married and have a baby.
Doesn't it feel kind of embarrassing sometimes?
No, totally.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, they're all so cool.
Yeah.
And I'm like, am I the boring one?
I know. I would have to be like, I want this.
Exactly. Exactly. Like if I wasn't doing this, I would be sad that I wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
Like I'm so happy to be doing it. But it's just like when I think about like me being the youngest one and me like being the first one to do this stuff, I'm like, what's the rush?
I know.
What am I doing?
Especially in LA too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything goes these days.
Yeah.
Really.
I know. Honestly. How long have you lived here?
I was born here.
You were born here.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I've lived here my whole life. I never moved away.
Wow.
I feel like it's big enough to where I have lived in so many different places in LA and like experienced so many different things, but never had to move too far.
Yeah. No, I feel like most of California, people who grew up in the state don't leave because it's so good.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. Where'd you grow up?
Mostly the Philippines and China.
Really?
Yeah.
Until when?
Until I was 18.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I never lived in the U.S. I'm half American, but I never lived in the U.S. until college.
Wow.
I moved to New York City for college, and I lived there for 7 years, and then I moved to L.A.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
When was that? When did you move to L.A.?
June of 2020.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a hectic time to move here, but it was also amazing because in New York, it was like cold. Everything is on lockdown. Here, you can be outside all year round. So things were open air.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so nice.
Did you meet your husband out here?
No, I met him actually in New York. So he is a musician. He's okay. in a band, and he was living in Australia at the time. And he came on tour, and he was good friends with my roommate.
Okay.
And so when they came on tour and played in New York, they stayed at our apartment. And that's how I met him.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. It's a cute story.
Yeah. Wow. Something I feel like I have missed as an adult is like learning, if that makes sense, like going to class. I don't miss taking tests. I don't miss anything like that, but I miss learning and going to class and stuff like that. And that is why I love Masterclass. And I'm so excited to talk about Masterclass because I took a couple of their classes this fall and I truly feel like they elevated my life and just kind of boosted my overall confidence. I just love learning. I took two classes, Kris Jenner's and Anna Wintour's. Those are my absolute girls. Kris Jenner taught the power of personal branding. So you learn the behind the scenes on how she does everything she does and the key steps to maintain a personal brand. And it was just so fun and so entertaining. And like learning when it's something that you're really interested in is just the best. And then the Anna Wintour teaches creativity and leadership class was just amazing. And I learned so much. And it's actually crazy to have access to like someone who's so powerful, one of the most powerful women in media and entertainment. And she just kind of taught the importance of surrounding yourself with people's opinions that you trust, developing like a creative vision, how to own who you are, all of that kind of stuff. It was just amazing. I took away so much from both of the courses and have a lot of newfound motivation since taking them. And I know you will all feel the same way. The list of instructors that Masterclass has is actually insane. They have like Bill Clinton, Amy Poehler, Gordon Ramsay, Lewis Hamilton, Bill Nye, everyone. Those are like amazing people and you can learn from them. It's so awesome. And there's so, so many more. They feel like your own personal mentors that will take you to the next level. With over 11 categories and 180 instructors with classes on leadership to basketball, they will have a class for you. An annual membership to Masterclass is just $10 a month or $120 a year for unlimited access to one-on-one classes with all 180 plus Masterclass instructors. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/circle. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/circle. That's masterclass.com/circle. Did your whole family like come to America or are they still?
No, they're still all
there.
Over.
Okay.
So my parents are now in Florence, Italy.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
It's so nice. And they've retired. So they're staying there for a while.
They're living the dream.
I know. I keep trying to get them to come here, but they're like, I don't know. We'll see. They have now, because my brother's in California too. He's in the Bay Area. Okay. And my sister's in Scotland.
Okay. Wow. Everybody's like, spread out.
Yeah, it's so sad. My sister and I are very close, and I spend like a lot of time trying to convince her to move here, but it's not happening.
Maybe one day.
Yeah.
How many kids does she have?
Two.
Okay.
Yeah, she just had her second couple months ago, a home birth.
Really?
Yeah.
How was that experience?
She said it was euphoric.
Really?
Yeah, she loved it.
Interesting. I've heard that a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like when Cody and I announced that we were having a baby, we got multiple texts from people that like from different walks of life that we haven't really talked to very, very much recently,
uh-huh.
being like, have a home birth.
Really?
Yeah. And they only sent them to Cody.
Oh, it
was
wanna,
all
like,
guys.
Scare you. Okay. Wow.
It was only dads texting Cody saying like home births are the best.
Yeah, people who do it love it.
Clearly. And I had never really considered it.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I didn't really consider it after those men texted my husband saying to have a home birth. Like,
yeah.
That didn't really sway my opinion too much.
I wonder why.
Yeah. I'd much rather talk to your sister.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought it was interesting. I was like, what's in the water of a home birth? What's going on over there?
Well, I think part of what makes a home birth enticing, as I was interested in potentially going for home birth.
Okay.
But in the US it's quite expensive. It's not insured. It's often not insured.
Right.
So it's like right out the gate, $10,000.
Okay.
Out of pocket. And so Yeah, but one of the things that makes it enticing is, like, I think a hospital environment, it totally depends on the person. Some people feel really safe in a hospital environment, yeah. and some people feel like they might be taken advantage of,
right.
or like things are going to be pushed on them that they don't want.
Yeah.
It totally also depends on who your providers are, like yeah. if you like your doctor or your midwife or whoever. So yeah, I think there's like more up in the air in a hospital setting.
Right.
But I'm giving birth in a hospital.
Okay.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm considering getting a doula though.
Yeah, I have a doula.
Do you?
Yes.
I'm looking for a good one.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you know. Yeah,
let me know how it goes.
Yeah. No, I could definitely give you some names. I think it's probably helpful. If you're like me, which you might not be, I do find it hard in that kind of setting with authority figures to advocate for myself.
100%. Yeah. Me too. I don't know, like I didn't study medicine.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what's going on. So like if a doctor is saying like, this is what you should do, like
yeah.
I'm not really going to question that when sometimes I could.
Yeah.
You know? And,
yeah.
and so I would like to have someone there to like advocate for me because I also am going to be like in the middle of
yeah.
labor.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so I'm not going to want to, you know, and I've also heard it's helpful like for your husband.
Totally. Yeah.
Because I can see Cody being like, how can I help? How can I help? And I'm not going to be able to tell him what to do during that time. And so yeah. I feel like having someone else just be like, go get her this, put your hand, like do yeah. this, you know?
That was part of the reason we hired a doula for my husband, because I was like, I feel really calm and like excited about birth.
Yeah.
He's like a nervous wreck.
Really?
He's like, he also doesn't like hospitals even more than I do, but he's, yeah, so stressed about it. And I'm like, do some reading. That's what's making me feel calm. And
yeah.
he's like, yeah, yeah, no. Neither of us like to read.
Yeah.
I'm just listening to books.
Right.
I'm not, when I say I've read a book, I've listened to it.
Right.
If it's not available as an audiobook.
Really? I've never listened to an audiobook before.
Really?
I tried one time and I was like, wow. I didn't love it.
How does it feel to be better than everyone else?
No, it was. I'm not saying I read. I'm just saying I don't like audiobooks.
No, yeah, I'm such a slow reader that
okay.
I just for years I never read a book. Like people would ask me like, what books can you recommend? And I would recommend like the same book
yeah.
for years.
Yeah, no, I was recommending the one that I read in 10th grade.
You're like,
I'm like, my favorite book is Othello.
Yeah, you're like, it's interesting to revisit.
Yeah. I read it once every 10 years and it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I need to, maybe you can recommend some audiobooks,
yeah.
some pregnancy ones.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I could give them okay. a listen because I feel like I would like it.
Yeah.
If I gave it another try.
Wait, so you were a preschool teacher.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about teaching.
Yeah.
Yes, I was a preschool teacher.
That's so cute.
It was great. It really was. It was the best.
Yeah.
I miss it. You taught fifth grade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, other end of the elementary.
It's a little bit different. My mom taught fifth grade for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how she did it.
Yeah.
I don't know how you did it. How did you get into teaching?
Well, I studied it in college. I studied education,
yeah.
childhood education, and special education.
Okay.
So I actually worked at a school where all of the classrooms were mixed gen ed and special ed. And
nice.
So each classroom had two teachers.
Okay. That's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
It was in Brooklyn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I loved it too. I love being with kids.
Yeah. Me too.
But I also struggled a lot with how many things you have to juggle. It
yeah.
just felt like when I would describe it to people, I was like, I feel like I have 10 plates in the air spinning and they all have like meals on them and I have to try and catch them
right,
all.
Right.
It just seems impossible. Like you're kind of set up to not be able to get everything done.
Yeah.
You know, but I loved it. I really did. And I feel like it's informed so much of who I am. And,
right. Yeah. How long did you teach for?
Just 3 years.
Okay.
Until the pandemic. I taught my last year was like halfway through the pandemic.
Yeah.
And that nearly sent me into a mental breakdown.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because because the year kind of just stopped
yeah.
randomly because I was teaching full time then too.
Okay. How long did you teach?
I taught probably full time for like 3 years. And mm-hmm. then I just kept going back and like part time subbing.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't really
yeah.
pull myself away
mm-hmm.
until like my boss at the preschool moved, and I was like, I can't try to explain to someone else, like, oh, I actually also do YouTube and a podcast, but I love to pop in and help out every once in a while. Like, no one else understands mm-hmm. that except, like, my boss who knew me before I started doing all of this.
Right.
And I was like, I think I needed that, like, I needed to kind of just have the cord cut, because I would have just kept going back and I would have never been able to, like, fully mm-hmm. try the, like, scary thing, which was, like, the podcasting and YouTube and all of that kind of stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, I would say, like, 3 years full time. But
dragged on.
Yeah, exactly. So you're the year cut off in the middle. Mm-hmm. And then did you try to go into, like, Zoom?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, school? We were fully remote learning, like, all day, every day.
That's tough.
It was so tough. And I had fifth graders.
Yeah.
But the whole school was doing it.
Right.
And it was like a K-8 school. And I couldn't imagine what was going on for the kindergarten teachers.
Yeah.
For anyone. Because fifth grade was already so hard. And
right.
everyone's going through different, all the kids and the teachers are going through different things. They're all in different settings. Some, like, don't have, some of them didn't have access to, like, a tablet or computer.
Right.
And we had to, like, send out laptops as a school, and some of them are, like, in a, you know, in a farm upstate visiting their aunt, and they're like, I'm not coming to class today.
Right, right, exactly.
Which I'm like, I get it.
You can't, also, you can't really control it. Like, yeah. you just, whoever shows up, shows up.
Yeah, so it was kind of, it was mayhem. And that everything, it just kind of stripped away everything I loved about teaching and magnified everything that was really hard for me. Which
right.
Just like paperwork and planning. I'm not a planner.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of planning in teaching.
Yeah.
As there should be, like, you're in charge of their education. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ended up doing, I was, like, the only preschool teacher, like, at my school who, like, could figure the Zooms out.
Oh, gosh.
Because, like, preschool, like, it's, like, you know, people who have been teaching preschool have yeah. been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
And, like, they just, like, are set wow. in their ways. And so I was, like, one of the only ones who could work Zoom pretty much. And so I just took over, like, all of the Zooms for the classes because, like, some went back, some were still on Zoom.
That's so intense.
It was, I think, like, your age was harder because my mom was teaching fifth grade during mm-hmm. during that time. And, like, the stuff she would tell me, I was like, my kids don't know how to do that. They don't know how to, like, work a computer. Mm-hmm. So, like, they're not trying to, like, play pranks on me, like, while I'm trying to teach Zoom, you know?
Right, yeah.
I think for me, I was kind of like an app, and mm-hmm. they just, like, thought they were, like, playing on their iPad.
Yeah. Aww.
So it, like, almost, like, was a sweet spot.
You're, like, the original Miss Rachel.
Sure.
For your class.
For like, the four kids that lasted on Zoom.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But, like, it was interesting because they couldn't get any of, like, the social stuff, which is so important in preschool.
Mm-hmm.
We could really just, like, learn, like, they were really good at their, like, alphabet and stuff by the end.
Yeah.
But I was like, it was just a crazy time.
Yeah.
But I feel like I learned, that's, like, where I came up with the idea for Circle Time.
Yeah.
The podcast.
I love it.
Because all we could do was Circle Time on Zoom because we couldn't do anything else.
Yeah.
It was like 45 minutes a day.
Aww.
So it was a sweet spot.
Yeah. I love Circle Time. We did Circle Time. We didn't call it Circle Time, but we had, like, morning meeting in fifth grade too, and it was my favorite part of the day.
Really? Which part of it?
We always had a game.
Okay.
And I love that. I love starting the day with a game.
It's true.
When did we stop doing that?
I know. I used to start Circle Time, this Circle Time, mm-hmm. with, like, playing, like, Never Have I Ever and stuff.
Oh, fun.
Just as, like, a fun little game.
And then you stopped.
We all stopped playing games. Well, because now I just, like, start talking right away. I think it was, like, you know,
yeah,
now it's like it was like my first day of school back then, and I needed the games to get going, and now
yes, no, that makes sense. When we started our podcast, Pod Crushed, we also, the first episode we ever recorded, we started with, like, a bunch of random questions about middle school, like, what did your locker look like, what was your favorite outfit, and our guest was like, I don't know.
Those were fun, though. I wanted to talk to you about middle school because of that. But first of all, how did you get into doing the podcast?
Yeah. So my co-hosts are Penn Badgley and Nava Kavalin. And Nava and I are like nobodies. It's like a big joke on the podcast. It's fine. We know.
And it's just, you're next to someone who people know.
Yeah.
You're not a nobody.
Well,
it's just, you know.
Yeah, comparatively. We're not on a Netflix show.
Yeah.
But we both are former educators.
Okay.
And Penn is a middle school dropout. He left school when he was in sixth grade to go and act. And the three of us used to live in Brooklyn, kind of all near each other, and we're all part of the same like faith community. We're all Baha'is.
Okay.
So that's how we met. And then Nava had the idea for this podcast. Originally, it was going to be, she wanted it to be me and my husband, David.
Okay.
Hosting the podcast with her. And it was going to be more like relationship focused and more about crushes. And then she has a production company with Penn. So she like ran it by him to be like, oh, by the way, I'm also doing this other project. Just like as a courtesy, I'm going to let you know.
Yeah.
And he was like, I want to do that.
Okay. which is exciting.
Yeah, which is exciting. And then it just like has, you know, evolved and changed since then. So now we interview celebrities and experts and talk to them about their middle school experiences and like how that has impacted them throughout their lives.
Yeah. Because I feel like I only think about like preschool. I think about like young childhood.
Yeah.
And I feel like for me, middle school era gets like looked over a bit.
Totally. It does. And I think it gets looked over by the adults in those middle schoolers' lives at the time.
Right.
Like, a lot of the things we hear about middle school are like kind of just like lock them away for that time.
Yeah.
Or like they're like temporarily insane.
Well, totally.
Yeah.
Because they kind of like are.
Yeah. There's so much going on.
So many hormones and like changes, and it's crazy. Yeah. But you can't look over it because I feel like it's such a formative time.
Yeah. And we've found that to be true in talking to people about middle school. Usually either people will be like, I have no memories from middle school.
Really?
Yeah. And it's always like, you know, so it's like kind of a trauma response.
Yeah.
And then they start digging and they're like, oh, actually this happened. Right. And then this and this. So, but yeah, it's quite rich for stories.
Yeah. What was your middle school experience like?
I was in the Philippines.
Right.
For all of middle school. It was quite unique because, we moved every 2 to 5 years. So the only way my parents could keep our education consistent was to put us in international schools. So it was always in English. But in Manila, in the Philippines, the school I went to was, there were a lot of wealthy families who went to.
Okay.
Every international school is different. Some were like a lot of diplomats. Some were a lot of kids like me whose parents were working for the UN or similar like NGOs. This school had a lot, there's like a handful of families in the Philippines who own like the majority of the wealth of the country, and they all went to my school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so my family was fine, like very, very much middle class, but comparatively, like people were taking jets to go to Hong Kong on the weekend.
Okay.
And so I was around a lot of wealth.
Yeah.
And I felt like our family was doing way worse than what we were, just comparatively.
Right.
But I loved it.
Yeah.
I had a good middle school experience. I think I got inducted into this group of kind of like mean girls.
Yeah.
And I started to like become, I remember my counselor went to my mom and was like, I'm worried about Sophie. She's like becoming a mean girl.
I feel like I had a very similar experience.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Parallel lives.
It's true.
And I moved in the middle of eighth grade, and actually I think that was the best thing that could have happened because I was going down a path of like a mean girl.
Yeah. But you find your way out of that.
Yes. Yeah.
One way or another.
Yeah, definitely. There was a lot going on at my school that was like people were way ahead of their years. What's the saying?
Ahead of their time?
Ahead of their time.
I don't know.
I don't know. We were in middle school, but like people were having sex, drinking,
really?
Doing drugs. Yeah.
I feel
like
crazy. That's okay. I don't know because I don't know many middle schoolers now.
Yeah.
I have a cousin. I have two cousins who are in eighth grade and one who's like a sophomore in high school. That's like the closest I get to middle school interaction, whatever my mom tells me about her class.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like now they're just so much more, experienced, mm-hmm. or they just know so much more. They might not necessarily be doing it, but they know so much more than I knew.
Yeah.
When I was in middle school.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that you feel like that was happening back then.
That was happening to a certain extent back
yeah.
then. And at the time for me, it felt really intense. But I have a friend who's a seventh grade teacher in LA.
Yeah.
And she's told me some stories that I'm shocked by.
I mean, it's kind of like horrifying sometimes, some of the stuff my mom
horrifying.
Tells me. Like, I'm like, I don't even know what that is.
No, it's actually really scary.
Yeah. Wait, yeah. Can I ask how old are you?
I'm 29.
Okay. So we are the same age pretty much. I just turned 30.
So when I decided to do the thing that scared me and put myself out there online, my life completely changed for the better. And I just encourage any of you circlers who want to, you know, put yourselves out there, start a brand, sell a product, post content, whatever it is, whatever dream you're holding on to, you just got to go for it. The thing that was holding me back the most was just being scared to even start, not even knowing where to start. And that always delayed me starting. But you never know where putting yourself out there will take you in life. And a service that was so helpful when I was starting out and made it so easy to start is Squarespace. They are so beginner friendly and easy to use. Whether you're looking to sell a product, post content, grow a brand, Squarespace is the perfect place to do so. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Squarespace makes it easy for you if you're just starting out with features like the flexible website templates, which definitely are very helpful. They have designs for any category you can think of. You can just customize and update. My personal few favorite features are the video collection, the asset library, and the custom merch. So the video collection allows me to organize my video content easily. The asset library lets me upload, organize, and access all of my content in one place. So it's just like organized, simple to use. And custom merch allows me to easily sell my merch to my audience. And it's just, it makes everything feel possible. Squarespace is just the best. They make it so easy to create a beautiful website for any endeavor you're starting. You have to try it. Just start. Just try it out. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/circletime to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain using code CIRCLETIME.
I also went to like a private Catholic school.
Yeah, that's its own experience.
K-8. And so like we didn't know, like I didn't know too much about what was anything having to do with like sex or drinking and stuff like that.
I also didn't, but everyone around me did.
Did they like teach you?
Oh yeah.
I'm not saying like you weren't doing it, but like were they like telling you what the deal was?
I remember I had to like ask my friend, what is sex?
Really?
Like what actually is it?
Yeah.
Like I know it's
generally
what happens. Yeah.
She told you like the logistics.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember we were sitting in her car on the way home because she lived in the same apartment building as me. So sometimes she would take me home. And yeah, I remember her like, you know, she had a minivan. So we were like in the two middle command seats, you know, and facing each other. I just remember it so graphically.
Yeah.
A lot of hand gestures involved.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I think for us, like we were learning about sex in the sense like we were being told like not to have it.
Mm-hmm.
So like I knew what sex was. I also had an older brother who like took that religion class like 2 years before me. So he was like, sex, blah, 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 blah. Like, I just remember him like very casually telling me.
Yeah.
But I do remember in sixth grade,
mm-hmm.
like having to ask like what a blowjob was.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like you're embarrassed.
I hate that word also. Like it could be called so many other things and I don't usually refer it to as that. So it makes my skin crawl.
Yeah.
But also like just thinking about sixth grade me, because I remember I also remember this so vividly, like the row behind me in class
mm-hmm.
was all talking about blowjobs.
And you're like, what is
that? And I was like, at first I was like, totally, like, ugh, blowjobs, of course, yes. and then finally I like looked at one girl and I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
And she told me and I was like, there's simply no way.
Yeah.
There's no way.
That sounds horrifying.
Anybody is doing that. But that's creative, but
That's never going to happen.
Funny story.
Yeah.
No, it is. Yeah, I relate to you in that way. Were you going to an all-girls school?
No, it was boys and girls, but it was like pretty much the same kids from kindergarten to eighth grade that I was with, like the same like 35 kids.
Mm-hmm. So, wow, 35. Yeah. That was how big your grade was?
Mm-hmm. One, and there was one class per grade. And my mom was my teacher.
What? Are you still friends with anyone from that time?
Not really. Like, no. There's like one or two people who like I still follow on Instagram and will like respond and to each other's stories and stuff. Yeah, but like I haven't seen them in a long time. And the only reason we reconnected was because we went to the same college.
Oh, okay.
So I think that made us friends, but like it wasn't. I think I kind of separated myself. Everybody went to the same high school. And I ended up going to a different high school and kind of just like distanced from everyone.
Because was that, did you feel like that was purposeful?
I think, like, I don't think I knew what I was doing back then. I think my parents had a better idea of how helpful it would be for me.
Yeah.
And it was a school my brother went to. But I'm so happy I had to like make my own way because I was way too, it was like, you're with like, you have like 34 brothers and sisters.
No,
like,
it's,
we all knew too much.
It's too close.
It was too much. And then like having my mom as my teacher had like an extra layer of like people not wanting to be my friend.
Yeah.
So it was always just like, I just needed to like, I needed to get out of there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
that makes sense. I'm glad you did.
Me too. I mean, I probably would have, you find your way either way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was an interesting experience. But like, I definitely fell into like the mean girl trap.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. I feel like when I talk to people on Podcrushed, we ask them like, what would you want to say to your middle school self? And so many people are like, it's okay, it gets better, which it seems like that's a universal answer for a lot of people. For me, I'm like, be better. Do better.
Be nice.
I feel like I got so swept up and I was trying to be like cool.
Yeah.
I had a group of friends beforehand, like in elementary school and maybe the beginning of middle school, who I could really be myself with. Mm-hmm. And it was like a lot goofier and more innocent and playful. And then I think also being the youngest, I felt like I should be older than I am. And being the youngest child in my family, I mean, there's this sense that like, I should be more mature.
Yeah.
And so I spent like the latter half of middle school being trying to be older.
Yeah.
And I'm like, slow down. It's okay.
Right.
Be playful.
Yeah.
Be your playful self.
I mean, I feel like in general, growing up, even as you become like an adult or in high school, whatever it is, like having that like playfulness and like not as serious, because like you're so much younger than you think you are for so long.
Yeah.
And like, I think that we all try to be older, but like, it's so nice to like have that youthful energy still.
Yeah.
And I feel like I found that so much more as I've gotten older.
Yeah.
But like when I, even like in high school and stuff, like I wanted to be, you know, you always want to be older.
I know. It's really, I mean, it is so cliche, but so true that like youth is wasted on the young. Like I look back at pictures of myself at like 22.
Yeah.
Living with like my best friends.
Yeah.
In an apartment together in New York. And I'm like, wow, I really thought, I just had this idea subconsciously that that would be forever.
Right.
And it's not.
Right.
and it can't, like there's elements that continue on and, but your life evolves and it evolves in a beautiful way. I'm so grateful for everything I have. And like my partner is amazing. I have so much fun with him.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to have this baby. But just like there, that you have these specific periods of time in your life and you just think in each one that it's going to be forever. I'm sure I'll feel that way about like being married without a kid.
Yeah.
Once I have this baby, I'll be like, oh my gosh, I just thought that would be forever.
I know.
You know?
I know. It's so, I was just watching videos, like my friend sent a video from my wedding this morning and I was like watching the video and I was like, oh my God, it's crazy. Like all of our lives have changed. Like three of these couples
that are in this video now all have babies. Like, and wow. They didn't. They were just like very newly pregnant at our wedding.
Yeah.
And like all of a sudden now, like all of our lives are completely different.
It's so crazy.
And that was the beginning of this year. Like, it's just crazy how fast like things can change. And then I was like, you have to like be thankful in every single moment because it goes by so fast.
So fast. And I feel like it's just going to go faster and faster and faster.
Yeah. Especially when these babies arrive.
I know. We should get together when the babies are both here.
We should. I feel like I don't know like many moms out here.
Yeah, same.
Like all the moms I know don't live in LA.
I know.
I know a couple.
Is that like a sign? Are we supposed
no.
to
No, I grew up here.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's fine. But I do like I would love more mom friends.
Yeah. Yeah, same. My whole family is like, I don't know how you're going to stay in LA. My husband's like determined. And I love LA and I love being in a city.
Yeah.
And around people I know.
Right.
So I feel like we'll stay.
Yeah.
For the long haul, but we'll see.
So there's no family for either on either of your sides out here?
No.
Okay.
It's that is a bummer.
Yeah.
His family, David's family is in Washington.
Okay.
Near Seattle.
Not far.
Yeah, not too far. And my family is in Europe.
Right.
But they've made it a point, since my parents are retired, they've made it a point to like come to California for several months in the winter.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Like they'll come here next week and they'll be here until February, which will be really nice.
Okay. That's good. Does talking about middle school make you like kind of scared for when your child is in middle school at all?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
I was just thinking about that because like I'm like, I know what to like do with a younger kid.
Mm-hmm.
But once they get to middle school, they're kind of like doing their own thing a little bit.
I know.
And also like you probably hear so many different stories about middle school and like how it shapes you.
Mm-hmm.
Has doing the podcast made you more scared of having a middle schooler?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. Well, one, things stay with people.
Yeah.
And that's not to say like they're determined by what happened in middle school.
Right.
And, you know, they can't change or grow or heal.
Yeah.
Totally. You can. For there's sure. so much you can do. But a lot of the time people will come on and be like, I remember when my mom said this thing about my body.
Oh.
And for, you know, for their mom, probably it meant nothing.
Nothing.
They didn't even think about it. But for them, it's like been on their mind for forever. Or like my teacher said this, and I felt that as a teacher too. I had at least one moment where I was like, oh no, I just did something by accident that like that girl's gonna think about forever in math. Like
would you share? Oh my god.
Are you okay?
Sorry, I just got a little sexy for a second. Would you share?
Yeah, sure.
Will you? Actually,
yeah,
you don't mind?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It was my first year teaching, and because our classroom was both gen ed and special ed, every lesson had to be really flexible. So we had a lot of like groupings. Like we would teach a math lesson, and we might let the kids choose like which group are you going to go into. In this one, we're going to approach the topic in this way, and that would be like the simplest one. And then there'd be like a medium and a hard.
Okay.
And we'd let the kids choose themselves.
Yeah.
There was one girl who I knew she wasn't getting the concept. And like the following day we were moving on to a new concept.
Mm-hmm.
And she chose to go into the group where her other friends were in it, like one of the medium or hard group. And mm-hmm. I was like, hey, I really think you should go in this other group. Like, it's going to be more helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, no, I don't want to. And I don't know. It was my first year.
Okay. The amount of it is so fine.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize that teachers are humans.
I know. And that you're making like 30,000 decisions a day.
100%. And like, it is, I hear so much like stuff. People give teachers a really hard time,
mm-hmm.
but like at the end of the day, like, they are learning just as much as you are, and they are also human. And I just like, you're
That's
no
true.
Shame.
Thank you.
Here.
Thank
we
you.
Do not teach your shame.
Good.
In circle
good.
Time, ever.
I love circle time. Yeah. And I just like wouldn't, I don't know why I was so hung up on it. I like wouldn't let it go. And I was
because you
like,
also want the best for your students.
Exactly. Yeah. I really wanted, I was like, she's not going to get anything from this other group.
Right. Right. You were doing it out of a good place. 100%.
Yeah. And so I really pushed her to go into this simple group. And she, you know, she was like, you think I'm stupid? And she started like getting really emotional and worked up over it. And I was like, I just knew. I'm like, because I have moments like that where yeah. a teacher would do something to me, especially in math.
Yeah.
I think that's why it was like triggering for
yes,
me.
Yes, no, math, is, like, math oh, is not no. my strong suit at Same. All. Still not.
Same. I'm like, I just recreated like my own experience for her. Now, like, I'm sure that that's going to be something she thinks about. And it will inform like who she thinks of herself as a mathematician, you know, or yeah. how she thinks of herself. So, yeah, moments like that. So that does make me nervous to have a middle schooler. And then also having this friend who's a seventh grade teacher in LA. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know how to yeah. deal with that.
I know. Well, it's also just hard because there's so much more access to so many things now mm-hmm. for kids. Yeah. I mean, the internet is just like, there is so much to see and to do and to find.
Yeah.
And it's like, I always think like, how am I gonna protect my kid from seeing stuff that they probably shouldn't see, but also like not be a crazy
yeah.
helicopter mom.
I know. And we're the same age, so you probably had similar, like, you know, technology was evolving for you in the same way it was for me.
Yeah.
I feel like we were like the last. Of course, there was technology, and there was like Facebook, and you know,
yes.
Instagram came about when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Or like just about to leave.
Right.
But I do feel like we really got to experience the last like vestiges
For
of
sure.
like a non-social media
yeah.
childhood, which I really appreciate. And I don't Same. Know how to recreate that.
I know. That's what I keep trying to think. Like, how can I emulate what my experience was
yeah.
for my kids? But it's just like, that's not possible. Like, if my parents tried to do that yeah. with me, like I would have been watching like a black and white TV, and now my it's parents true. Aren't, like, I don't know, like, when my mom's gonna call me and be like, what the fuck?
She's like, how old okay. do you think I am? Yeah.
They were watching yeah. silent movies.
It was during the Depression.
Yeah. No, but it's just like, you can't try to like make your kid grow up in the early 90s yeah. when they're growing up in 2023.
It's
and
true.
So it's like, how do you make sure that they're not being like overexposed
yeah.
in a negative way?
Yeah, because there's so much research now to show how negatively it impacts young people.
Yeah. And I will say, there is some stuff that's on TikTok where I'm like, if only I knew that when I was yes. even 22. Yeah. Like, if I could have learned how to cook a damn meal for myself yes. when I was 22, which I know I could have done now with TikTok.
Yeah.
Because I was like, the dry zucchini that I was like trying to make myself. Like, that was the only, like, rice and zucchini.
Yeah.
Was like all I made myself. But now I'm like, yeah. if I had TikTok, and I also would have known to like wash my face more often when I
know.
You know? So there's like some stuff that I'm like, it's helpful.
For sure.
But most of the time I'm like, no, especially like a middle schooler needs to see this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think also I watched the first season of that, the D'Amelio show.
Okay.
And there was an episode where, because like all the kids who they're around are also like super yeah. big on TikTok and,
right.
and Instagram and whatnot. And they were saying, we just feel like we're constantly being watched because anybody could pull out a phone
right.
and record us at any point. So it's kind of like you have this like omniscient self who's
right.
like, who's censoring yourself.
Yeah.
And that to me is potentially the scariest because like I'll see these videos on TikTok that are like me in middle school dancing with my friend versus like the middle schoolers
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I just like love that for you. I remember that. And I
right.
love that for you and your friend who can
right.
just like make up a dance and have no care.
Right.
You know, not be like, is this going to go viral? Or like, is
totally.
Anyone going to see this?
Well, because you'd record it on like your, like my friend's like computer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, then you close the computer and it would just be on my friend's computer.
Exactly.
But it wasn't like, we weren't like posting it.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
the world.
Yeah. I feel like there's got to be some benefit to being able to grow up and not feel like you're being watched.
Yeah.
Like that.
And also just, I think that we also like have a better sense of, like, I don't want my kids to feel like they have to record every single thing that like happens.
Yeah.
And like, I always forget to like take my phone out and record mm-hmm. stuff, which is not great because it's my job.
No,
so
but
it's
that's
like,
amazing.
I'm really bad at it. But like, I don't want my kids to feel like I want them to like be able to like live in the moment.
Yeah.
And there's just so, everything's so easy now to just like record and take pictures and.
Well, I feel like if you're like that, that's amazing. I want to be like that. I feel like I've totally fallen down the hole of like, I need to record every
moment. My issue is that I wish that I did record. It's mainly for my job. Like, I'm like, yeah, you could have filmed.
You're like,
probably.
Damn it.
So probably could have filmed something there because that's what you're getting paid to do. Sometimes, but like, I don't ever want to like fall too far into it. So then I pull back really far. But I'm like, there's got to be like an equal.
Yeah, true.
Balance here.
True. But I do think your kids are going to be well set up. If you forget to take your phone places, I think you're.
Oh my God, I don't forget to take my phone places.
Oh, to take it out and record.
My phone comes everywhere. If I could glue it to my hand, I would.
Okay.
But I just forget to film.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I go to a concert, I'm not filming the whole thing.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of times, like I went to go see Bruce Springsteen with my family in April.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid in front of me Snapchatted, I'm not even kidding, the entire concert. Like the whole time he was on Snapchat filming.
No.
And I was like, but he's right there. If you just put your phone down, you will literally see him in front of us.
That is, I'm going to say, that is one of my pet peeves is videos of concerts.
I think that's more what I mean. Just like that kind of thing where I'm like, you just pull out your phone and you film it and it's like, but you could also just watch it.
Yeah, no, you're doing good.
Videos of concerts is wild.
Videos of concert of like, okay, I kind of get it when someone's filming because they're thinking like, oh, I want to remember this. But posting them online, no one wants to see
the
video of the concert.
I've taken videos of certain parts of concerts before, 100%.
Yeah,
it is definitely more the posting.
Yes. It okay. One
over it. One is fine.
One is fine. Please no more.
Like one is fine. If I've now been to the concert with you after going through your Instagram story, now I'm angry.
No, because it never sounds as good.
You can't even tell what's going on.
No.
But at least you'll get to remember it. I've never once looked at a concert video that I filmed though.
I know. There's so many.
I've never once rewatched.
There's so many types of videos and pictures that I take that I'm like, I won't look at this.
No.
But then there are ones that I will, and I'll use my Photos app as like a journal too, because I really suck at journaling. I need to be better.
Same.
But
I do love journaling, but I'm very bad at it.
Yeah. I'll be like, what happened on Thursday, October 15th?
I do. And I actually love, if we're talking about people's Instagram stories, I actually love when people do like the tell me a date and I'll show you a picture from that date.
Me too.
I find that to be very fun to look at.
Yeah.
I always want to do it on my own Instagram. And then I get nervous.
Yeah. You're like, nobody's going to care.
Yeah. But, every time.
But they will.
Maybe
they'll like it.
Maybe I will.
Yeah.
But I love to see that kind of thing. Because it's just, because you can be like, you can look back so
I know.
Far.
No, I love that. I will like, me on a plane, the only thing I will do is go on my Photos app.
And I can't even. That's like a universal experience.
Yeah.
I just saw a TikTok about this.
Really?
Where like, it was like three different people and just they were all looking at their, like just looking at their photos.
Yeah. And a lot of the time it's like blurry because it's on iCloud. Like,
right.
But I'm like, I know what's going on in that picture.
And it's always, I'm just like staring at pictures of my dog.
Exactly. I'll type in different things. I love the search function. I'll be like, dog.
Yeah.
Park.
It's so great.
LA.
I like have my whole camera roll memorized.
Yeah.
Because that's like all I do. But I'm like, I can like go exactly to a place and find like the one screenshot that I know is in there because I'm like, I've just been through this so many times, just flipping through.
But I feel like not everybody is like that. Like, well, definitely my husband's not like that. I don't know if like men are as much like that. That's a big generalization.
Yeah.
But I have always been like that. Like my family photos, I know every single photo because
I'm very much the same way.
Yeah.
I think I'm just really nostalgic.
Yes, me too. Which Penn says is like a sign of mental health issues.
Is it?
I think yeah, come on, Penn.
You're generalizing.
Just like
we just
be fun.
Like to look.
Yeah.
No, Penn might be onto something.
He might be. Yeah, no, I think maybe it is, like, if you're, like, kind of, like, stuck in the past. But I don't feel stuck in the past.
That's the thing. I'm not, like, yearning for those times. Yeah. I'm more just, like, curious. I think something about, this is going to sound so ridiculous, but, like, knowing that that is me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, that's me little. Like, that's the same person that I, yeah. like, something about that. I'm like, I just want to know what it was like, yes. because that's actually just me. I just grew up.
I know.
And so I just want to see. I'm curious.
I know. I saw some pictures of myself when I was like 17 the yeah. other day. Because usually I'll look at, like, you know, 1 to 6.
Yeah.
But I looked at pictures from when I was 17 and I was like, oh my God, I'm so cool. Like, mm-hmm, I feel mm-hmm. the sense I got was like, I'm just chasing like 17-year-old Sophie in a way. Who's like artistic, like creative.
Yeah.
Just enjoying herself.
Right. Well, because you still have that, like, a little bit of like, you're like a little bit naive to the world still.
Yeah.
You feel like anything is possible. And I feel like as you get older, you kind of get jaded with certain things. And yeah. so you lose those certain things. But
yeah. And you have no responsibilities.
Right. Right.
No. How nice.
You just have to be creative.
Yeah. And like, and be like, which friend's house will I go to today?
Totally.
So nice.
Yeah. I think like looking back and being nostalgic is not always a bad thing.
I agree. I'm gonna tell Ben.
Yeah. Let him know that it's not always a bad thing.
Yeah.
There's two very sane people.
Yeah. Self-proclaimed sane people.
Yep. With no like extra hormones going on. Like, really, really just even keel people going,
oh my gosh,
saying that it's fine.
Today I watched a TikTok of this kid, like maybe 5 years old, who had cancer with that soccer player, Neymar. He was showing him like the dance he wanted him to do the next time he scored a goal. And like, it shows the kid showing Neymar the dance, and then it cuts to a clip of him like scoring the goal and doing that dance.
Oh my God.
And I just wept.
Oh yeah. that's a recipe for weeping right there. I get that.
That's just how it is these days.
Yeah. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't know when that's going to change.
I've kind of always been like that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. It's just amplified now, and it'll probably just keep,
I think so,
getting more and more.
I don't mind it.
I don't mind it either. It's what makes us.
Yeah.
You know?
It's better that than the reverse.
That's
true. For me.
Yeah.
No crying.
I can't imagine a world in which I don't cry.
I know.
I couldn't.
It must be sad.
Yeah. It's fun to cry sometimes.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's a nice release.
Yeah. How are you and Cody, like, equally emotional?
No.
Okay.
He is. I'm extra emotional. Mm-hmm. He is, like, not very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
I think since we've been together, he's like learned more about his emotions and how to express them and how to feel them more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
So he's gotten more emotional.
Yeah.
Since we've started like our relationship.
I'm sure when you guys have your kid, he's also gonna.
Yeah. Now he's like, there are things, like, we were like watching like a breastfeeding video and he was like, oh my God, like the noise. Like he was like, I was sitting there like, oh my God, I'm kind of terrified. And he was sitting there like, like he like looked at me and I was like, is he fucking like crying? Like, I was like, what is going on? And then we like leave and he's like, that was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
You're like, pull it together.
And I was like, was it? Like, I was like, wait, what is happening? Like, I'm the one who should be thinking that. But I think he's definitely.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Like he cried far more at our wedding.
Aww.
Than I did.
That's cute.
I know. I was surprised.
It was unexpected.
I was expecting us to be at least tied for crying.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting him to go full on beat me out of the park.
Yeah.
But he did.
He saves it for those moments.
He knows like the right moment to cry. And I'm filling in all the other gaps. he's crying at every single wrong moment.
Yeah.
And he's just doing the proper tears.
He's sane and not nostalgic.
Exactly. He would probably be classified as like mentally stable.
Yeah.
But to each their own.
Yeah.
What about your husband? Is he emotional?
I think it sounds pretty similar. I said to him one time, I was like, it must be so nice to be married to someone who just like laughs at what you say. Like, I'm like, just laugh sometimes. No, he thinks the things I say are funny, but he won't, like, you know, he's not so free
okay
with his
he's a
emotions.
More reserved.
Yeah, a little. He's not reserved like in his personality,
right?
But just with like laughter and tears, like extreme emotion.
Expressions.
Yeah, yeah.
If you will.
Being human. Yeah, but he has gotten way more emotional since I've been pregnant.
Yeah.
And he's like crying at random times.
Yeah.
He, the other day, we have someone bought us like a bunny stuffed animal.
Okay.
If I for a real the one. Baby. No, I wish. And he was like, let's bring it into the bed.
I was like, oh. That's sweet.
That was so cute. He's like, let's just imagine.
Yeah.
Like what it's going to be like when the baby's here.
That's really sweet.
Things like that. Yeah. He's become really soft.
Yeah. That's good. It's exciting to see like how they'll be as fathers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it has been such a pleasure talking to you. I could really talk to you for so long. I do have one more thing. We do a little journal time here.
Oh, fun.
I have questions that like kids answer, and
this is so
cute. Let you pick one. Sorry, okay. They're all kind of the same color.
I'm gonna go for gold.
I had a feeling.
Yep.
When I was doing this, I was like the only
so
sparkly
cute.
One.
Thanks.
Pipe cleaners. I know. You don't see them every day anymore.
What's your favorite season and why? Cute. My favorite season is definitely summer.
Really?
Yeah, I've always been a huge summer girl.
Okay.
I love the beach.
Okay.
I love warm. I grew up in the Philippines, which is like a tropical place.
Yeah.
So anytime I can be just like in minimal clothing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
How about you?
I would say probably spring.
Oh,
I just have always loved spring. It's like so much new. Like, I just feel like it's like bright again and new and nice. So I would go spring.
Honestly, you could say any season. But if someone says winter, I'm like, you're psychotic.
But the only thing is like Christmas. I like Christmas
time. Sure.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. There's a reason there's a song. I stand by that.
No, it's true.
But it's cold. It's a little bit.
It's horrible.
But here it's not that bad.
It's true. No, LA, I there is no season.
No. It's just
LA.
Christmas time. It's Christmas time or like summer.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It is. Yeah. Everyone should move here.
Yeah, including your family.
Yeah.
Shout out. Everybody move here.
I'm waiting.
Well, thank you, Sophie. Would you like to tell the Circlers where they can find you, listen to you, whatever it is?
Yeah. You can find me on Instagram or TikTok. My username is @scribbledbysophie. And I host the podcast Podcrush, so you can listen to me there.
Amazing.
Thanks for having me, Kelsey.
Thank you for joining.
So nice.
Bye, guys. See you next time.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.